The following podcast contains explicit content and opinion. My name's Reese Jarrett.
I'm AJ Ray.
And this is The Raw Cut. Yes, this is The Raw Cut, a podcast of rich opinion. And yes, again, my name's Reese Jarrett, and I'd like to thank my host, my co-host this week, AJ Ray.
Hey guys, how you going?
Another week, another podcast, and another bunch of political crap. So before we get into the political stuff, do you want to have a talk about anything?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about how awesome these snowballs I'm eating right now are.
I don't normally eat fatty food before. Oh, the sound effect. The sound effect's happening right there. I don't normally eat fatty food before I'm in front of the microphone because I've noticed sometimes halfway through I'm doing something, my voice might change slightly.
What do you mean?
So, anything else?
Not really. I've just been busy doing everything I have to do.
Actually, because the listeners probably don't know who the hell you are, who are you?
Oh, hey, listeners. I am a wannabe stand-up comedian. I guess I still call myself a wannabe because you can't call yourself a comedian until you give up your day job.
Yeah?
Is this a one-take kind of thing?
Yeah, this is a one-take kind of thing.
Okay, well...
They don't mind if we have a little bit of dead air. They don't mind. They're just listening.
They're not a radio audience. They can always fast forward. I've been performing stand-up for 8 years and have done a slew of fringe shows and met a whole bunch of amazing comedians, name-dropping people like Josh Thomas and stuff. Hanging out with them has been really cool. And I also work in IT and animation and digital media.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah. As my Twitter says, all them tasty buzzwords.
So, oh, yes. Well, shall we get into some politics?
Of course.
So, this week, we saw Tony Abbott go on the relatively, I would say, right, center-right, 3AW, talking to Neil Mitchell about the war in Iraq.
So a radio program.
Yeah, yes. A radio program in, I believe, Sydney. And he was talking about how freedom of speech and terrorism, because there's this current argument in the media, especially with the new laws that they just recently put in, about outing certain government operations, that might be considered a special operation, and if a journalist does that, they might be put in jail for 10 years.
Yes.
So, and there's also just the general racism that's going around with the Muslim community happening over there with people just shouting at them randomly.
Yeah, I never thought Australia was a racist country.
Oh. Of course not. So, let's have a listen for what Tony Abbott just had said on the radios.
There was a fascinating long essay that the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair wrote a couple of weeks ago, and he published on the Blair Faith Foundation's website, so it would be readily available to people if they want to read it.
Really good to know.
And he made the point that there is the fringe, a small minority of people who engage in terrorism, and then there's the spectrum, a much larger group of people who support an ideology, who have a set of beliefs which justifies terrorism. Now, they're not practitioners of terrorism, but they have an ideology which justifies and explains terrorism. And the point that Tony Blair, the former British Prime Minister, is making is that while we must resist fiercely terrorists themselves, do everything we can to defeat the terrorists, we also have to intellectually wrestle and grapple with the spectrum of thinking which supports terrorism.
Is there anything?
So suppress freedom of speech, basically.
you can do further about this group, or is there anything you want to do further about this group?
As you know, Neil, we are changing the laws, subject, of course, to passage through the Parliament.
Yes.
We want to change the laws, and we want to make an offence not just to engage in terrorist activity, but to engage in terrorist advocacy.
My problem with that is that those laws can be easily misrepresented, and even just general people of the community could probably have their freedom of speech taken away from them for saying something that the government doesn't like.
Most definitely, that's what it's there for. One of my issues with it is that Abbott's ideology says that it's okay to imprison people for being homosexual. So he is a supporter of that.
When did he say that?
He's a Christian man. Yes, he's quite homophobic. If you go back to before the election, some of the things that he's on record as saying, yeah, he's not a fan of the community.
And then the advisors come in and tell him otherwise.
Yes, and say, ooh, you know, fun. play it safe. It's also, he just doesn't understand that, oh, well, yes, they're not committing acts of terrorism, but they're supporting the ideas behind the same ideas that the terrorists have. But the, like, Sharia law and the books that they rely on in their religion are actually sort of like the Christian books. So they're written by different people, and some are given...
I commented that on the last episode.
Oh, yeah? How more of them are given more weight for being real and what you should follow.
Yes, it depends on who you talk to.
Yes, where others are sort of charlatan outliers of, like, the 29th disciple no one had ever heard of before. So I think fundamentally it comes from a place where our politicians want to achieve their own aims, which really have nothing to do with the issues being discussed, and they do not understand the religion or where it's coming from, and it's fear-mongering and it's distraction.
Oh, definitely.
We're probably preaching to the choir.
It's interesting. I'm lost here. Just jumping.
My friend on Facebook the other day put a status up. Gotta love talking about Facebook. She said, oh, would it be okay for me to wear a burqa or a hijab for a fashion choice? And I just thought that was a really idiotic question because, yes, we have equal rights. You can do whatever you like. Sure, you're actually allowed to walk around naked, but you will get arrested because it's a public nuisance, but you have the choice to break the law.
Yeah.
So you have the choice to do whatever you want with your body and your fashion and what you do. Yeah, I thought that was a silly thing to ask.
Well, I did listen to Bill Maher the other day, or watched Bill Maher the other day. And he was talking about how a lot of Muslims seem to have these, very radical beliefs. But then they don't act on them because they just, nah. You know, they have these beliefs, and that's what might trigger some of these people to actually carry forth a terrorist attack or something like that in the name of the Muslim faith.
Perhaps, but I think the people who create that sort of community, again, the leaders in charge with the power are trying to achieve their own aims, which has nothing to do with what's at hand. Personally, I think, gotta watch my words, it's not exactly justified, but if you think back to things like the Twin Towers, perhaps someone thought about the only way they could get a giant message out there as fast as they could, and that was what they did. And instead of maybe asking why did they do this to our country and our people, they just said, we know why they did it, because they hate us. But that doesn't answer the question of why are they hating us, apart from just a religious reason.
It's all a bit weird at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it's all very strange. But theirs is not the only religion which says there is but one God and you have to believe in our God.
Mm.
They're just one of the religions which has prospered quite well over the hundreds and hundreds of years of being around.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put something in the law that Tony Abbott's proposing to put in, like talking about if you preach for certain terrorist activities, if you would like to call it that, wouldn't people go after evangelical Christians? Because they're very radical. Because I remember seeing a documentary on them before, and that's scary stuff.
Yeah, well, the Westboro Baptist Church and things like that. But define terrorism, so causing terror. Yes. So if I was advocating for people to run up to Tony Abbott and kick him in the nuts, that might cause terror. Therefore, I might become a terrorist. Some of the laws around ASIO being able to look at everything you're posting, blog posts that you haven't posted, and if you put something up there that they don't like, they can change it. Why couldn't they then put something up there that would then give them a cause to arrest you? So it's just given ASIO a whole bunch of more powers to write people up, you know?
Exactly. Now, let's continue on. And this is still Tony Abbott that we're talking about here. And this is him talking about the war and the money that is used to fund it.
My critique of the Labor Party is that having got us into the budgetary mess, they're now obstructing the measures to get us out of the budgetary mess.
But we are now in a different situation with these added costs of our involvement in Iraq. Has Labor got a responsibility now to pass what you want so they can pay the bills?
Let's keep the costs in perspective. We're talking here about perhaps a half a billion dollars a year, depending upon how much ordnance is used. In terms of the debt and deficit disaster that we inherited, this is a relatively small amount. Now, the challenge for Labor is to come up with a proper budget strategy, given that they're not, at this stage, prepared to accept our budget strategy.
Seriously?
Because their budget is shit. They spend money on completely unnecessary things. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, they do. I mean, just... not to drone on the religious side of things, but having chaplains in schools. Really? $200 million for that?
And then saying that that wasn't allowed to be used if a school chose to have someone who wasn't of a faith?
Yes.
Thank you. That didn't get through, so...
No, it didn't.
I think what Labor should have done before the election is say, hey, listen, guys, they want us to get back in the black. They want our economy to do that. All right, here is our plan. This is what we would have to do to get us back to a surplus. And they could have put it all out there exactly what would have to be cut and how horrible it was and how utterly destroying it would be to the Australian way of life. And then the people would be like, hold on, Labor, we don't want you to do a budget like that. And they could turn around and be like, well, that's exactly what they would do. Well, I think they should have done
it. But he has said something right on the lines of Labor hasn't put any alternative up.
No, because Bill Shorten isn't actually a leader of the opposition. Bill Shorten is just there so that Liberals can get away with whatever they want. Yeah. I think that Bill Shorten was the worst choice for the Labor Party, especially since his mother-in-law was Quentin Bryce, the only woman we could have ever had a hope, only Governor-General we ever had a hope of kicking Tony Abbott out because of what he's doing to this country. And she had to resign from her role because of a conflict of interest.
Though Peter Cosgrove, the current Governor-General, is a nice person, but I don't doubt that he's going to kick anyone out of the Parliament.
He has terrible relations with Papua New Guinea. It was a horrible choice.
You're talking about the war, the intervention that he had with Papua New Guinea and East Timor that he led.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he, from a public relations,
I don't know
standpoint,
much about that. So you talk on about that.
Oh, it's just he's very much the I am the military man and I will be the military governor general of Australia and support Tony Abbott in the things that he wants to do. And for that matter, when I heard Australia,
no critiquing. He doesn't look at it and critique anything. I think you're right on that matter.
Just a figurehead. Just a ridiculous figurehead. And I think I've forgotten the next thing I was going to say. All of the politics make me so angry.
Oh, of course it does. It's I think it's their job is to be a partial comedy network and anger situation.
Just frustrate us till we become the disenfranchised youth and don't vote or pay attention anymore. Yeah, when I heard Australia was going to war, I thought, oh good, finally someone's doing something about Ukraine. How wrong was I to expect that, hey, maybe we would stand up for people who only gave up their nuclear weapons on the proviso that they would be protected if Russia ever tried to invade? Oh, we've got short memories. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, it annoys me. Now, did you want to move on to the next story?
Yeah, what
the
is
next,
it?
The next story is ACES. Now, they've been doing some interesting things lately. Mind you, their misconduct last year, as exposed by that Four Corners report on the passports being used by, I think, Iranian? Mm-hmm. Or some other government using them as a cover, using Australian passports as cover. That was causing interesting havoc in Canberra. But this is a completely different thing. Now, ACES in Victoria have an island or a base on an island called Swan Island. And they basically take up the whole island. And every year, protesters go there and they trespass on the actual ACES land, and then they also protest outside the gates of the base. And this year, something particularly disturbing happened. Have a listen to this from 7:30.
The protesters go to Swan Island every year. Usually they're arrested and charged with trespass by local police, but this time it was different.
We heard a car come screaming around the corner, and two plainclothes men came out and rushed towards us. This man charging at me was one of the scariest things I've seen. For about the last 15, 20 metres, I had my hands in the air saying, "I'm a non-violent protester and I won't be resisting." And that didn't stop him from tackling me as hard as he could and crashing me into the ground. They were like cable ties.
Greg Rolls still has the red marks around his wrists, he says, are from the cable ties his captor used to handcuff him.
He then went on to put a bag, a Hessian sack, over my head. And after that was on, I heard one of the two men say, "Welcome to the bag, motherfuckers." I do remember saying it at this point, "This is torture." And he said, "I don't give a f-." And at that point, he rolled me over onto my stomach and pulled down my pants and my underwear. He kept asking, how many of you are there? And I was still in shock. And at this point, he's picked me up by my handcuffed wrists and dragged me along the ground. And so I had my genitalia exposed, I had my chest exposed, and I was being dragged over 5 to 10 metres to a pile of wood chips.
Ouch. That's disturbing.
It's incredibly wrong. It's what happens when your country's run by a bully boy who likes that sort of attitude.
It's a police state, not a nanny state. But they said these two people, because there was three people. These three, that was just one of the protesters that infiltrated the ACES property. There was three of them in total, and they were holding up a banner, and they took a photo of it, and that's when they realised, and then the car came around. So basically, ACES said that they were stripping them for the reason to see if they were terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and if those people had been Sikh or perhaps Muslim and wearing a head thing, perhaps they would have just gotten shot on sight.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point there.
The behaviour is not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. Though this is a protester account, recount, and this could be completely false for all we know. But the government has said that they are going to start an inquiry into the incident.
Yeah, just to see.
Just to make sure it didn't happen. If you were starting an inquiry into the incident, that means that there's some sort of realisation that something has happened.
Yes, yeah. Yours and the officer's views are different. Yes, that's why we're here. They say you did this. Yeah, our witnesses say we did something else. And the officers would just be like, "We need to gather more evidence."
Oh, of course. Let's just think about it. And it just becomes a wash. It just becomes one huge wash. There we are. Good button pressing there.
What saddens me is that people, I know the sort of people who are against people wearing burqas and hijabs, are the same sort of people who will say, "Yeah, well, they shouldn't have trespassed."
Yes. I think some person from the Australian Defence Association, sort of like an advocacy group for people who are in the Defence Force, said that they shouldn't have been trespassing. It's incredibly stupid to do it at this time anyway. Why would you want to do that? It's ACES. I mean, of course you can trust them.
Our terror alert's on fairy floss. Come on.
But it says in the law, it says it is illegal for ACES officers to use unreasonable and humiliating punishment under Section 62G of the Defence Act. So I would think that would be sort of contravening that. That would be a...
I think it'll be an interesting follow-up to find out what happens with their investigation into whether there was an incident.
Yeah, and they're actually quite surprised and quite relieved when the local police turned up to the scene to sort out things, because they actually handled the situation in a professional manner. So that's very interesting to see someone happy that the police turned up.
Well, I suppose the police would be a bit surprised as well, because they know that it happens every year and they get arrested and life goes on. They come back the next year.
Yeah, they know it's there.
Yeah, so the police officers are probably like, what are you doing? We've got this sorted. It's like, it's a little play we do every year.
But it disturbs me on how we are becoming not a nanny state, but a police state. A nanny state, I heard someone say, actually talks about the government trying to control everything to help people. And a police state is very much the opposite.
Yes. I was watching some Australian TV with a German man last night or the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And a safety ad came on. And he goes, this is, I'm sounding French, like, the government doing a message thing. And I said, yes, yeah, public service, so because we have a lot of crashes and we like road safety. I think it's very good. So, hey, the Germans think we're doing something right.
Oh, the advertisements. Obviously, someone's profiting there.
Yes, well, television companies.
That's because they can't be bothered to make it themselves, the government.
Yes. Back on topic of protesting, the Naphthine Silencing Act is...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, basically it's taking away people's right to protest, to gather and congregate. And if you're standing around and they think you might be protesting, they can issue you with a move-on order. And then if you don't move on within a reasonable amount of time, which depending on the attitude of the officers, perhaps if they're ACES officers, you can
ACES
then be arrested.
ACES isn't supposed to operate in Australia. Isn't supposed to operate, I'd say, with quotation marks.
Maybe they've planted the flag on their side of the fence.
I think so. Anything else you want to say about that?
I think it's appalling and that they should be reprimanded by jail time or an extremely hefty fine.
We are moving through this like chuffy, because last podcast I think we went on for an hour and 20 minutes, and this has only been 20 minutes. I think this is a bit of an improvement, because if we drag on for too long, people will get disinterested, and I think a half an hour is a good time.
Yeah, I think if we drag on for too long, you'll have red marks around your wrists as well.
Oh. What are you trying to threat there?
Oh, nothing. Just nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Let's continue, shall we? So, let's continue with some batty medicine. Now, British American Tobacco wants to bring e-cigarettes into Australia and want to bring it into corner stores under medical grounds. So let's have a listen to 7:38 again, another report, to hear what British American Tobacco had to say to the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which regulates the medicines and all that type of thing.
So we don't have flipping
documents
right,
released to 7:30 reveal British American Tobacco offshoot Nicco Ventures began its Australian push in November. It approached the Therapeutic Goods Administration describing e-cigs as medicine. It wrote, "We have found these face-to-face meetings to be extremely productive to fully explain our medicines-based approach."
Now, I didn't put that sound effect in there. That was the ABC. But what do you have to say about this? I mean, you're a smoker yourself.
I am, yes. It killed my grandmother, and my mother has had to have a brain tumour removed, and I am currently a smoker. But like Ben Elton says, my drugs of choice are alcohol and tobacco. Alcohol I hope never to give up. Tobacco I hope to give up tomorrow. This gives me a bit of a sense of deja vu. I remember once upon a time, cigarettes were recommended by doctors, and it was also on
advertised on television. You see all those sports cars with the different bits and pieces on the side. Oh, it was really...
Smoke Camels, they're good for you.
But now it's sort of interesting, because we're coming to an age where it was exactly like 40, 50 years ago, where we're possibly going to see ads on the television advertising what is essentially a cigarette product.
I think they still won't get ads on TV or ads on buses.
I hope so.
Yep, I think the precedent that was set with cigarettes to cut down on that will stay the same way, because watching someone take a drag or watching someone play with cigarettes and all this sort of stuff, they're all triggers for people. So if you're going to put an ad for an e-cigarette up there, you would still be triggering those non-e-cigarette smokers to want to smoke more or buy more. And the visual of what it is so ingrained. You really don't want to be encouraging people to do that. Yesterday, I saw a bunch of underages on the bus. I think there would have been 16 to possibly the youngest 14. And they were smoking one of these vaporizing cigarette things. The good thing at the moment in our state is that you cannot buy oil with nicotine in it. So it is simply flavoring and used as a replacement. However, that
I don't think it's oil.
You.
I think it's just water, gyrosol, and some sort of flavoring agent.
Yes, yeah, but you can order the nicotine oils from overseas, from different countries. Yeah, yeah. And there's supposed to be a limitation. You're supposed to only be able to ship in something like a 3-month supply or a 3-week supply anyway, but there's no one checking on this. There's no one at the borders watching how much nicotine oil is coming in. And I think two problems. One, they do the powder to make it look like you're smoking.
So
there's some sort of unnecessary powder which is included. We don't know what that's doing to our lungs, and we don't know how that's going to affect us long term. And the second thing, I forgot.
Okay.
I remember.
Oh, but I'll say that Nico Ventures, that bat company, was actually feeling quite happy about their meeting with the TGA. They were feeling that it was a very promising talk.
Yes.
Which made me feel nervous.
Yes, that was the second thing, is I think when they're going out to these face-to-face lunches, someone's eating a burger just made out of money.
Mm.
And by eating, I mean putting in their handbag.
Mm.
And I think it's very easy to bribe
Wrapping
officials.
It up in a bit of a gold tinfoil.
Yes.
Putting it away for later. I might need to store it in the fridge.
Oh no, I dropped the deed to this $1 million house in front of you. Oh.
But the company believes that these e-cigarettes will protect smokers' health for some. Do you think it will?
Again, I think we need a whole bunch of trials on this, because the nicotine itself necessarily isn't that bad. And it is a lot of the chemicals that they add into the tobacco, which is terrible. And a lot of these pouch tobaccos and tobaccos that you get, they do mix in a fair amount of like wood chipping.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a certain rate that it's allowed to not be the tobacco plant. Anyway, so basically,
is that a cost cutting thing? Do you know for sure?
Most likely.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought most of the carcinogens coming from a standard cigarette were actually because of the tobacco leaf.
They add about 20,000 different chemicals into a tailored pre-made cigarette, more than what you buy in a pouch tobacco.
Okay.
And pouch tobacco have added chemicals as well.
Because that's interesting, because when I was watching a documentary the other week, Four Corners on the ABC did a documentary, pardon me, did a documentary, a two-part documentary, it was over two nights, on tobacco and cigarette and smoking and vaping, because it's a new thing. And they use the same guy that has been doing reporting on this the tobacco industry for over 50 years. He was one of the first people to report on cigarettes being bad for you on the BBC,
so he's got a very good knowledge base.
Yeah, and he was taken into British America Tobacco's R&D lab, and they had this nice presentation all nicely fitted out on the floor and everything, listing all the different carcinogens and chemicals that are in the cigarette that you're smoking and how it's bad for you, because they've somehow now thinking that, oh, cigarettes are bad for you, but we're going to sell them to you anyway. But hey, there's this new e-cigarette that's somehow healthier for you, because that's what they're trying to do.
I think
it's a bit bizarre. It's sort of like the pot. What's the analogy called again?
Pot calling the kettle black.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a good sign that the cigarette sales are declining so much that they're thinking they may have to get on board with this vaporizing thing rather than fighting it in the courts to have them banned on the basis of looking like a cigarette but being a toy or any other legal iteration they can think of. But I think they will not give up on selling expensive nicotine replacements like the gum and other things like that. That's a big industry for them.
What company owns that? Is that an independent company, or does British America Tobacco have, or other tobacco companies have their fingers in that too?
Talking brand names of Nicorette, it is owned by a tobacco company.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
There's only three of them out there, if you didn't know that, guys. There's only three producers of tobacco, so I don't know why we have 36 different flavours to choose from.
Actually, there's a lot more, on the vaping side of things, there's a lot more small independent companies that have started up.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting five different times, industry move from the whole startup scene. And I thought that was a very interesting.
Yes. I know vaporizers have been around for quite a while, being used by the pot smoking community, and I know a lot of them certainly find it is less harsh on the lungs and easier to smoke. I'm sure it's also a positive that it's easier for them to hide it and stuff, but I'm not sure on that. But what I've heard from that community is that it certainly is less harsh. What you have with the tobacco e-cigarettes is this fake smoke powder. Again, it's why the extra additives. So I think there needs to be some form of regulation.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you don't know, these people could be doing like moonshine, backhouse nicotine making that could go terribly. But I don't want so much regulation.
They're going to go all, what's the movie called again? The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh.
Yes, that was a classic.
Yippee!
No, that was a different one.
Die Hard.
That's Die Hard. Where'd you... What? No! Okay, so... I think, just before we look at wrapping up this show, I think, to be honest, a lot of this is just going to fall on its hands as everything else do. And in the great words of Bill O'Reilly...
Fuck it!
I think it's just... A lot of this stuff is just going to fall on its hands, and I think it might even become an unregulated industry as it is now.
It could do. I think... Well, you know, I think a lot of stuff. Who knows where it's going to go, but I think it will definitely... There will be one death one day, and then when that happens, everybody will jump on one bandwagon or the other, and who knows what will happen then. In the meantime, support your local industries and try and find someone who does that, because I actually don't like that you can order it in from overseas, because the price of the oil does in no way represent the price of the ecological footprint it took to ship that into the country.
So, yes, all that shipping fuel.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, just go to town and sit there at a shisha hut with a whole bunch of your friends and smoke occasionally.
I was about to say that. Those I don't know what they're called, those, I think, Iranian contraptions.
Yeah, they're a shisha or a hookah.
Some of those vaping devices look very similar to that.
Yeah, it could be based around that. But I think we might get to a future. We saw it in The Fifth Element. Cigarettes were mostly filter with a tiny bit of tobacco. We might get to that future, or we might get to that future where it's really only socially acceptable to smoke on occasion, and that we may be so aware of the circumstances of the consequences of smoking that we choose only to smoke on special occasions or once or twice. But I think after a while of not smoking, once you smoke, you realize how disgusting it tastes, and you smell horrible, and children don't want to go near you.
My car is a testament to that, because it's just sticky and smells, and it's like,
secondhand from a smoker.
Yes From a non-smoker's point of view, vaping is okay, because like, as if I'm sitting directly across from someone at a cafe that is vaping, I don't smell a thing. Because I was down in the pub the other night and another guy was across from me. I was talking to him and he was vaping along and I didn't smell a thing and it didn't bother me at all. So from a non-smoker's point of view, because that whole secondhand smoke thing, there still might be something there. I'm not quite sure because we don't smell everything. But I think that is a lot better.
One of the dangers there is because you can have it flavoured and it can taste delicious, is that, again, that can be used to appeal to the younger market. You yes. want your chocolate flavour, you want your strawberry flavour, which is exactly what they used to do with tobacco cigarettes until it was banned by the government. So there is a danger that it can really appeal to that younger market. But my mother is a smoker and I used to walk into the lounge room and they'd be sitting down and you can see the level that the smoke has settled at, right? So you walk in and your head is like above the smoke. Yes, and then you sit down into the smoke. So I think it would be interesting.
Stop, drop, roll, crawl it out.
Yeah, it was quite horrible. I have quite a lot of secondhand smoke damage on my lungs. But I think it would be interesting to get two vape smokers together in a room and have them sit there smoking for 3 or 4 hours and then see if that same build-up happens in the air.
I don't think their liquid will last that long.
No. And, of course, it doesn't smoke when you're not inhaling it, which I suppose helps on conservation.
I mean, from my point of view, just to sort of skew the topic a bit, but I'm in support of marijuana being legalized. And there's sort of a bit of a different bizarre thing here because I'm against cigarettes because they have been proven to have a lot of shit in them besides just the tobacco and the nicotine. I think I need to see a lot more research on marijuana just to make sure.
Yes. Well, a lot of people say, oh, you can't decriminalize marijuana, things like that, because it can cause schizophrenia and stuff. But once it becomes regulated, it gives you far more opportunity to track and test and spend science dollars finding these things out. So you can find out whether you're predisposed to perhaps having a psychological reaction to that. I believe there is about, not I don't know the exact figures, but it is about 4 times as many cancer-causing chemicals, or the identified cancer-causing chemical. There's about 4 times more in marijuana than there is in tobacco. But there is no way anyone would be smoking 1 or 2 packs of marijuana a day. It would be physically impossible.
Yes, I think that's a good point that you bring up there, because the amount that you smoke, well, compared with cigarettes, is a lot smaller because it's impossible to smoke the amount that would actually kill you.
Yes. Well, I'm sure some people try. But there are some great documentaries out there about how it became a criminal activity, mainly due to the funding of alcohol and tobacco companies. So once again, lobbying, evil lobbying to our governments has been going on for a very, very long time. So in America, they believe it
those
was...
Those suits again.
Yes, exactly. Because alcohol and tobacco was making too much money. And if you smoke marijuana, you're less inclined to drink lots and this sort of stuff. So there's a theory that it was their lobbying that made it criminal in the first place.
And hearing from other marijuana smokers, it's apparently better if you do it through a bong.
I can't attest to that.
Are you staying safe or you truly can't attest to that?
No, I can't attest to that because I think a lot of people, if they smoke joints, they don't use a filter.
Mm.
But what happens with a bong is that the water sort of acts like a filter. Yeah. So I can imagine that it would be slightly better out of a bong, but I don't know.
Well, should we think about ending the show?
Oh, well, I hope you guys have enjoyed it and stuck around till the end.
Yes, well, let's play a little jingle.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. I might not do a monologue today. I did last week. I don't really have anything on my mind to do a monologue. I thought I got everything quite out there. I might do a monologue next week. But anyway, thank you, AJ.
No problem for
dropping in this time. Now, if you haven't noticed, we do cycle our co-hosts around. So it's about every month you hear the same co-host. It goes around a weekly basis, of course, because this is a weekly show. Next week, I am getting someone that isn't a young person, but he does a lot about youth issues. And he has a very prominent role in organizations that worry about that. So that is next week. And, yes, the social networks. Social networks. Look us up on the social networks. The Raw Cut should be somewhere around there. And I think, anything else, AJ?
No, I've had a fabulous time. Thanks for having me in. And I think I would just like to issue a retraction on my Twin Tower statement. Otherwise, I might be getting some death threats from angry Americans in the mail. So I retract that. I get it. It was evil. It was terrible. They did it because they hate us all.
The American that lives 200 meters away from my house will definitely come and kill you.
Yes. Oh, my God. They're the real terrorists.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And this has been The Raw Cut yet again. Listen next week.